You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Good morning, friend. Welcome into the Mike Allen Show here on this Wednesday, July 20th. Hope you're doing well and beating the heat. I know a lot of parts of the country are going through a little bit of a summer heat wave. It is July, after all. Don't worry, it won't be long before we'll be complaining about the cold. You won't see me complaining about the heat, though, I got to tell you. Love summertime, and mercy, wish it could stick around year-round. Late nights, sitting in the front porch swing that we've got, enjoying the shade of our two big trees. Man, I love summertime. Can't beat it. Anyway, my pleasure to be with you. Looking forward to my guest next hour. He is Dr. Wes Ely. He's a pulmonary and critical care specialist who not only teaches at Vanderbilt University, but also practices at the Vanderbilt University Medical Center. I became familiar with Dr. Ely because of an article that he wrote in the Wall Street Journal here a few weeks back entitled "A Swimming Pool in the ICU," subtitled "My Patient Nearing Death Made a Moving Request, Baptism, He'd Get the Full Dunk." It's a pretty cool story, really, that he tells about a Vietnam veteran who was dying, and when he discovered that one of his dying requests from his family and from himself was that he be baptized, and they ended up inflating a portable pool there in the ICU, unhooking him from his ventilator and actually immersing him, his son, baptizing him there in the ICU. I just thought it was a cool story, particularly in the Wall Street Journal of all places. And Dr. Wes Ely, as I talked to him on the phone a couple of weeks ago trying to set up this interview, discovered in the meantime that he's a devout practicing Catholic, which is pretty cool. So we'll talk to Dr. Wes Ely about that experience in the ICU, how he brings his faith to bear in his work as a pulmonary and critical care physician. Should be really, really good. And evidently he's well known because, you know, my regular guest, Jason Hall, his newlywed bride, Jessica McFarland, who's also works, I think, in palliative care, currently at Duke University, soon going to be at the University of Kentucky, said she's read some of Dr. Ely's work and the work that she does. So the guy's obviously making an impact, and pretty cool. We'll hear about him and his own faith. And, you know, I have such a deep appreciation for those in the medical profession who have the humility in recognizing, of course, that there is a transcendent reality and meaning, and that there's, you know, that they certainly have a role to play as physicians, and they do that well, and they should be as diligent in their pursuit of medical science and technology and all that they can, but that ultimately they have the humility enough to recognize that there's a God and they're not Him. And Dr. Ely seems like one of those persons, and what a great gift when you have physicians like that who recognize that. So look forward to that conversation. We'll also talk a little bit about Jeremiah's call and ours, looking at today's first reading, the call of the young prophet. We'll talk about fixing what's wrong with what's right on a whole lot of levels, from the U.S. to the church, and also some staggering numbers on out-of-wedlock pregnancy. Just staggering. We'll get into. Certainly, you're welcome to call anytime during the program today. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You can email me, mikeallenshow@gmail.com, or you can post your thoughts on Facebook or on Twitter. I'll give you the question of the day in the next segment. Maybe you have something else you want to talk about, though. Certainly, you're welcome to do that. Maybe you've been listening to Breadbox Media for some time. You've been listening to the show for some time. Maybe you're not Catholic, And you've been listening and curious about Catholicism. I mean, I'm sure there are a whole host of different perspectives that people bring when they listen to a show like this one. You know, you may be somebody who simply appreciates things about Catholicism and the common ground that maybe you as a perhaps you're a Protestant Christian and you appreciate some of the common ground between us, and therefore you listen to affirm the things you can and maybe at least learn from or appreciate the things you can't. Or maybe you just you like some of the topics we cover on this show, or maybe you've been listening for some time and you are curious about Catholicism. It's been known to happen. I was talking to a gentleman the other day, and he was fascinated learning things. He's not Catholic. He's going to be marrying a Catholic. But he was talking about how he found Catholicism fascinating, wanted to learn more about it. I said, well, be careful there, Podge, because you get curious enough about Catholicism, you'll find yourself hooked. As I've said before, you know, the great British Catholic G.K. Chesterton said there are three stages in becoming Catholic. First is being fair to the church, getting beyond your misconceptions, preconceptions, caricatures, and straw men. As the late Archbishop Fulton Sheen said, you know, there's not 100 people in the country that hate the Catholic Church, but there are millions who hate who they assume the Catholic Church to be. I found that to be very true. So being fair to the church, you're in that early stage. You're willing to say, you know, maybe I was wrong in my assessment. Enlighten me, which oftentimes leads to the second step, of course, which is discovering the church. It's like you find yourself in a strange land that is both foreign and hospitable. You discover things, and yet you have this strange sense of being home. And the third step, of course, according to Chesterton, is running away from the church because you realized you've been hooked. Or in the words of Jeremiah, you duped me and I allowed myself to be duped. So be careful being curious about the Catholic Church. I tell you from experience, as someone who never imagined being Catholic. And yet, when I think about the things in my life I'm thankful for, things that I really do not deserve, I list among those certainly near the very top, if not at the top, but being Catholic. Now, you may think that's a strange thing to be thankful for. And believe me, in my experience as a Christian, it is a new thing for me to say something like that. I'm glad to be Catholic. I don't think I would have ever said that about being a Methodist Christian. It wasn't that I didn't love the Methodist Church and being a part of it, and certainly loved learning about John Wesley, who was the 18th century Church of England priest who really led the early Methodist movement, which was a renewal movement within Christians in England that time that encompassed a whole host of people. Anglicans, Baptists, Presbyterians. I mean, there was a whole slew of people who basically the Methodist movement was about becoming more serious and methodical in one's own spiritual growth and growing as a disciple. And it was really never intended to be its own church, but it kind of emerged out of that. But as much as I appreciated the particular theological slant as a Christian of being a Methodist, I don't think I've ever would have said, you know what, I'm so thankful to be Methodist. Because in my point of view as a Christian and somebody who would maybe self-identify as an evangelical who believed in the importance of an interior conversion of heart and loved the scriptures and the importance of sharing the faith with others, I would have considered myself a Christian who just happened to be a Methodist. And I would have sort of been wary of too many labels, even though I knew there were theological distinctives between Methodists and Presbyterians and Baptists, and I certainly was more partial to the Methodist perspective on things. I never would have seen that as my primary identifier. Now, as a Catholic, though, I have no hesitancy of saying I'm so thankful to be Catholic. Because to me, the difference, and this is where I think a lot of people who are not Catholic sometimes don't get the Catholic point of view, is that we do not see Catholicism as one denomination among many, switching teams or affiliations the way a free agent might in baseball. But rather, we see and understand Catholicism to be the most complete and full expression of the Christian faith. It gathers together all these various elements in which different denominations place their emphasis, let's say, and even some of the differences on more minor matters. It encapsulates them all in one great both and. And we'll talk about this a little bit more in the second hour, because I think this is an important point to understand about Catholicism and what it claims to be. It is, in a sense, the original non-denominational church, because it is the church, the fullness of the church Christ founded upon the apostles. And what I want to clarify later in the show is that what this means, it may appear and sound as though that's an arrogant statement. It's not certainly meant to be arrogant. I believe it certainly can be expressed in an arrogant manner, but I mean, it's either true or it's not. That's what it comes down to. And there are a lot of things that, as a Catholic, I certainly acknowledge, particularly out of my deep respect and appreciation for the Christians that I know who are not Catholic. But we'll talk about this a little bit more later in the show. But again, it's fair game if you want to talk about it. 573-4-BREAD-4. Maybe you take issue with that. Maybe it gives you something in your craw. I don't know. 573-4-BREAD-4. Call or text or email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com. This is Breadbox Media. You're listening to The Mike Allen Show. We'll be back in just a minute.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Fifteen minutes past the hour, you're back on The Mike Allen Show here on Breadbox Media. You want to learn more about Breadbox Media? Then just go on the website, breadboxmedia.com. You can learn all about our contributors from coast to coast. We got Catholic shows about cooking, about family life, about scripture, about every topic under the sun, because word Catholic, of course, means universal. And it's not simply one piece of the pie. In the point of view of the Catholic, all truth is connected and interwoven, no matter the topic. And we cover them all on Breadbox Media, this digital enterprise that seeks to broadcast the truth and the love of Jesus and the church he founded upon the apostles, continuing on down through the centuries as a beacon in a dark world, across digital streaming apps for your digital devices, as well as podcasting. Maybe you miss a show, or you don't catch it at a particular time, or maybe you want to catch one of my old shows. Go to breadboxmedia.com and find the podcast either through iTunes or through Google Play or Podbean. You can even subscribe as well. You can also become a friend of your favorite show and through a contribution receive access to exclusive online content. Check it all out at breadboxmedia.com. You may think my question of the day today is a little bit morbid, but that's okay. We Catholics do the morbid. I mean, we have the tongue of a saint in a jar somewhere, right, to venerate. So, and we pray often the Hail Mary, which talks about the hour of our death. So morbidity, not something that we are scared of as Catholics. But inspired a bit by this article that we're going to talk about next hour with the author, Dr. E. Wesley Ely, who teaches down at Vanderbilt and also works at the VA hospital there in Nashville, Tennessee. And he tells the story about Benny, a Vietnam veteran who was in the ICU, intensive care, there in Nashville. And when it became apparent that he was dying, they wanted to know how could they serve him best. And they had listed his goals on a whiteboard in his room. One of his goals was stable vital signs. I guess we'd all like that. And the second goal was baptism. And he goes on to tell the story about how they brought an inflatable pool into the ICU and had a bedside baptism there for Benny before he passed away. And so it got me thinking, you know, what are the things that would bring you the most spiritual solace on your deathbed? I know, like I said, you may say, what a depressing question, a depressing topic. But we all are going to face that day. Now, that doesn't mean we'll all have a deathbed per se, right? I mean, death can come many ways and quite unexpectedly. But for some, we have those moments, no matter what age it happens, in which it becomes apparent to us that death is encroaching, and we have those last moments. And the beautiful thing, I think, that we have through our Christian tradition, and I would say with great depth and richness in the Catholic faith, are some of the rituals, the prayers, the opportunities we have at a person's death to entrust them and to commend them to God's love and to eternal rest. So for you, what would it be? I keep meaning to do this, and I haven't done this. I used to have a card in my wallet, and I need to get another one that instructs someone. Let's say someone were to find me after a car accident or in some situation. There's a card that you can have, or you can have something around your neck or around your wrist that says, I'm a Catholic. Please call a priest. Because I really would love the prayers and the anointing of the sick, what we've called in the history of the church, extreme unction. If I'm physically capable, I would love to take what's called viaticum. It's a Latin phrase that simply quite literally means with you on the way. It is viaticum is a reference to final Eucharist, to that final bread of angels that we might take that would prepare us for God willing, and in his own time, the heavenly banquet. I noticed, and I posted this on the show's Facebook page, Prayers for the Death and Dying on the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, which is an excellent resource. You can read the daily readings there. There's all kind of good stuff. You can check it out. And I want to share a couple of those here in just a minute. But my question is, again, what would bring you the most spiritual solace on your deathbed? 573-4BREAD-4, you can call or text. Or you can email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com. Where would you find comfort? What is it that you would most want? A couple of comments we've gotten on Facebook on this question. Tom says, bed? I want to be torn to shreds by a grizzly. Now, see, this is where Tom and I park ways. As you know, I have the fantasy of surviving a grizzly bear attack. The rationale being that you would always have a great story at parties, as I say, not so injured that you're eating all your meals through a straw, but, you know, a few well-placed scars, maybe one sort of zigzagging across your face. I mean, honestly, you've always got a story of the ultimate rush. So I can't concur with you, Tom. I don't want to be torn to shreds by a grizzly. I think that would hurt. Anyway, David says, no good. I'll die at the hands of a jealous husband. Then he says, just kidding. My answer is knowing that I did the best I could, especially in my relationship with Christ, and that I put more in the world than I took out. Charles says, accepting the multiple condemnations of this world while simultaneously feeling the touch of God's crook. God's crook, of course, the shepherd's staff guiding me into the fold of the body of Christ. One of the beautiful things that we have as Catholics is this understanding that we have, for example, the idea of a happy death. And we actually, if you pray, for example, the church's divine office or the liturgy of the hours, at night prayer, there actually is a request, a prayer that is offered. And this is prayed by priests, by deacons, by bishops, by those who are vowed religious for the most part. And there are many lay people who pray this, this night prayer, which sees going to bed at night within this, which sees the day in many ways as sort of a microcosm of a human life. And so every day has that cyclical morning, which is like birth, evening, and going to sleep like death. And every day that prayer is offered, grant me a peaceful sleep and a, I'll look it up exactly. I think it talks about it, granting me a peaceful death. We pray in the Catholic Church. We have saints. Saint Joseph, for example, is considered the patron saint of a happy death, because according to tradition, at his own death, he was surrounded by the Blessed Mother and by his son, his foster son anyway, Jesus. Not a bad way to go. And so Saint Joseph, seen as the patron saint of a happy death. As we go along here, we'll share some of the prayers with the dying, some of the scriptures, prayers of commendation. These are all listed out so helpfully in the USCCB website. Might be a good thing to have for yourself or for a loved one, because you never know if, when and where a priest, for example, is going to be available to be there in those moments. I've had the privilege back in my days of being a Methodist pastor. I've had the privilege of being present in the final breaths drawn by someone, and it is a great honor. There's a certain, I don't know, holy hush and awe about those moments. So anyway, check that out at the show's Facebook page for sure. Okay, checking out sports just very, very briefly. I noticed some of our Major League Baseball teams are coming back to earth a little bit, which may be giving a little bit of hope to some of the teams that have been chasing them. Seems like since the All-Star break, all the top teams have been struggling just a little bit, except the Boston Red Sox, who are making a little charge at the top of the American League East. Cleveland has certainly cooled off. The Indians, they were on quite a tear. The Rangers, 2-8 in their last 10. The Washington Nationals have lost two straight now. The Chicago Cubs, four out of their last, only won four out of their last 10. Nobody, though, behind them seems to be making a run at them. And then the San Francisco Giants, who, given that this is an even-numbered year, predicted to do well, they tend to win World Series in even-numbered years, have lost four straight. So, again, we're kind of in those dog days of the baseball race, not even to the 100-game point yet, so a lot of ground still to cover. All right, let's get to our What Were You Thinking nominees of the day. We've got a few. Nothing really mind-blowing, though, here today. Go dumb or go home, as we like to say. And after yesterday, a brief respite from making fun of Pokemon Go players and seeing them as helping re-enchant the city, we're going back to Pokemon Go. Well, let's mention a guy that decided that the best thing he could do to make his friend's wedding grander, and you gotta appreciate him taking one for the team, this from over in China. Guy stole a luxury car for his best friend's wedding. The man stole a Porsche from a woman a day before the wedding and drove it about 300 kilometers to the ceremony for his friend. Yeah, well, enjoy the wedding. I'll be going away for a little while now. And our second nominee has to do with a Pokemon user, actually not a Pokemon user, a guy who was bothered by Pokemon Go players in Florida and involved a firearm. We'll have to give you that and the winner when we come back for the break, because we're just about out of time. This is the Mike Allen Show, 573-4-RED-4, if you want to chime in. We'll be back on Breadbox Media.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
right, at the bottom of the hour, back on the Mike Allen Show on this Wednesday, July 20th. My privilege to be with you. I want to cheer you up by telling you to think about your deathbed for just a minute. Oh, mercy. Coming sooner for some of us than for others. Believe me, maybe it's my morbidity. I think about death a pretty good bit. You know, you hit 50. I mean, come on. I'm no longer middle age, let's say, unless I really am an outlier in terms of lifespan, especially for a man, and that I've already outlived my father. I mean, in terms of he died at the age of 49. So I do think about it sometimes. And it does us good, I think, to think about death. It has an amazing winnowing effect, helps us cut through and realize on our deathbed what it is that we will, you know, what will be our regret on our deathbed. As it's been said, you know, we won't regret not spending more time in the office. We will regret neglecting those things which are truly of lasting value. So my question to you is, what will bring you, because we're going to talk next hour with Dr. Wesley Ely, who is a pulmonary and critical care specialist, professor at Vanderbilt University, works in the university hospital there as well as in the VA hospital. Excellent article from a few weeks ago in the Wall Street Journal about a baptism he helped facilitate in the ICU. Dr. Ely, a practicing Catholic. And I'm asking the question, what will bring you the most spiritual solace at your deathbed? 573-4BREAD-4. What are things that you want to make sure happen for you at your deathbed? 573-4BREAD-4. You can email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com. Laura says, knowing I followed God's will for my life. Yep, that's a good one. Ephraim says, the blessed assurance that on eagle's wings will not be sung at my funeral. Oh, Ephraim, be careful with that. Depends on what kind of sense of humor your family has. You know the On Eagle's Wings song. It's very popularly sung in both Catholic weddings and Catholic funerals for some reason. We call it the Yoo-Hoo song, right? You who dwell in the shelter of the Lord. Starts with Yoo-Hoo. It's kind of like the Come Sail Away song. My family, we've got some of these codes for different Catholic songs, like the Catholic song, yeah, I forget the name of it, in the hymnal that sounds like Styx's Come Sail Away at the beginning. Come live in the light. You can almost hear Dennis DeYoung's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Or then there's the Willy Wonka song. You know, the Lord is my light and my salvation. It's kind of like that. In your imagination. I know. Way too much time on our hands. 573-4BREAD-4. 573-4BREAD-4. What will bring you the most spiritual solace on your deathbed? I'll share some beautiful prayers that are, and I've posted a link to this on the show's Facebook page from the USCCB, some resources, prayers for death and dying that really worth checking out. Anyway, back to the What Were You Thinking nominees of the day. We're going to go back to Pokemon Go. We've had one nominee. Let's do a couple of others. Go Dumb or Go Home, as we like to say. Second nominee, again, yesterday we had Alexi Sargent on, and we extolled the value of urbanism and to Pokemon Go and how it's bringing people together of diverse backgrounds, causing them to interact, ask questions of each other, discover in a re-enchanted city and community around them. So there's some good, right? Then you've got this. Activists to Bosnian Pokemon Go users, beware of minefields. You know, they talk about first world problems. And certainly we have concerns here in the U.S. of not stepping out into traffic while we're playing Pokemon Go. But this highlights, of course, the difficult situation and war-torn areas that people have to deal with. And one is that activists actually have to warn people in Bosnia not to walk into minefields while playing the reality game Pokemon Go. Bosnia, of course, one of the most mine-congested countries in the world. A non-government organization in Bosnia says it has heard of people wandering into minefields while playing Pokemon Go and is urging them to pay more attention before someone gets hurt. Yes, pay more attention. That's just fascinating, though, that they actually have to put out a warning about that. But the winner, again, go big or go dumb or go home of our What Were You Thinking Award, is going to go to a Florida man. As I said, you've heard about these situations where people find Pokemon Go players around their house, around their church. Evidently, in Palm Coast, Florida, a homeowner awoke to a noise outside around 1:30 a.m. Saturday and saw a car sitting in the road in front of his house. He told authorities he got a handgun and approached the vehicle. What could possibly go wrong? Then the sheriff's office spokesman said the two teens in the car sped away and the man fired several shots at them. Really? They're leaving your house. We're not talking about intruders here. And you fire shots at them. Later that morning, he says the mother of one of the teens called the sheriff's office when they realized the car had a flat tire and several bullet holes in it. She told officials the two had been playing the smartphone app. So there you go. Again, I'm a Second Amendment guy, but if anybody thinks the answer to reducing violence is more guns, I submit to you Exhibit 8463 of why that's not always a good idea. Anyway, if you've got a nominee you want to call us and give us, or shoot my way, whether it's, maybe it's your own life. It's always good to laugh at ourselves. These instances, we're laughing at others, but mindful of the fact that we're thankful that in this instance, it's not us doing something really dumb, because I tend to do dumb things on a fairly regular basis. 573-4BREAD-4. Speaking of dumb things, I want to talk about Lou Holtz for just a minute. Lou Holtz, who I've always appreciated, certainly a great football mind, been successful everywhere he's been. Of course, he's retired now, successful at the University of Minnesota, successful at the University of Arkansas, successful, of course, at Notre Dame, won a national championship there back in the late 80s with Tony Rice and company, and then came out of retirement to coach at South Carolina. A program that had a long history of futility and really began the process of making the University of South Carolina a pretty serious football school. What he did, of course, was strengthened and deepened by Steve Spurrier, but Lou Holtz did a great, great job. And, of course, Lou Holtz is a practicing Catholic. He's been on, he speaks at a lot of Catholic conferences. He's been featured in Catholics Come Home type of commercials, well known for his Catholic faith. Well, evidently, at the Republican National Coalition for Life on Tuesday, which what I imagine is happening up in Cleveland, affiliated with the Republican National Convention, the former Notre Dame coach had some thoughts about immigration, according to reports. Here's what he had to say. He evidently said that the high number of immigrants coming to the U.S. constitutes an invasion. And he said new immigrants needed to assimilate better. Holtz added that his grandparents learned English after immigrating to the U.S. from Ukraine, insisted his family learned it as well. New immigrants to this country, he continued, need to learn and speak English and, quote, become us, unquote. Okay, well, we may have some quibbles on that, but not that extreme. And then he says this, I don't want to become you, he continued. I don't want to speak your language. I don't want to celebrate your holidays. I sure as hell don't want to cheer for your soccer team. This from Lou Holtz. A little bit later in the talk, he says, he when asked what advice he'd give Donald Trump as president, he said this, well, this is back in May, be presidential and care about people. The president of the United States represents all people, not just the poor, not just the immigrants. It represents all people, the successful people as well, and show people kindness. I guess Lou feeling a little left out as a successful person and non-immigrant. Anyway, what bothers me here, and listen, I'm going to post a link to this on the show's Facebook page, too, because He said it a lot better than I could. My good friend Mark Berger. Mark Berger, who occasionally blogs, wrote a piece called On Holidays and a Bigger World. And wondering what world it is we live in that we are so closed in on ourselves. Number one, that we can't recognize the irony of a statement like Lou Holtz's, that I don't want to celebrate your holidays, when he coached at a school whose nickname was the Fighting Irish, for heaven's sake. And I'm sure Lou doesn't mind celebrating, St. Patrick's Day? How about Christmas, which, believe it or not, is not an American holiday? I mean, beyond what, Memorial Day, July 4th, and Thanksgiving, and that's about the extent, really, of American holidays. Maybe Labor Day, you could say. But this, we'll get into this on the other side of the break. It just really bothers me. It continues on this theme that, we'll get into it in just a minute. This jingoism, this rising sense of xenophobia, I just don't like it. So we'll talk about it more on the other side of the break. This is the Mike Allen Show.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Minutes before the hour, you're back on the Mike Allen Show here on Breadbox Media. Again, want to see our full range of contributors round the clock, coast to coast. Check it all out at breadboxmedia.com. My question of the day is, in light of a conversation I'm going to have next hour with Dr. Wes Ely, a pulmonary and critical care specialist at Vanderbilt University and at the Nashville Veterans Administration Hospital, about an experience he had there at the VA with a dying Vietnam veteran who wanted to be baptized, and how he helped facilitate the inflation of a portable pool in the ICU so the guy could be baptized. What is it that at your deathbed would bring you the most spiritual solace? 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. You can call or text. You can email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com, or you can post your response on Facebook or on Twitter. It's worth thinking about, I think, because chances are we'll all face that moment. And by the time we face it, probably too late to think about that. Jessica, who commented on the Facebook on this question, which, by the way, is one way you can comment through Facebook or Twitter, Mike Allen Show, the handle. I want my family to know my wishes so they don't have to carry the burden of any tough decisions. Yeah, those are big things to talk about there. And, you know, this, and one of the things that's important, I think, as a Catholic, really anybody, I guess, who understands the value and the sanctity of life and the fact that, you know, that we as human beings do have the proper jurisdiction on some things and not on others. In other words, we do not have the right to take our own life. We have to be very careful, and this is where, you know, to do a little bit of reading and understanding what the Catholic position is. Certainly the Catholic position is not that you have to do everything possible to extend your life. There may be circumstances in which, you know, you can allow death to take its natural course. You're actively dying, and perhaps the pain that you would go through in trying to extend your life rather futilely, maybe just to extend it a few extra days, would be disproportionate to the discomfort that it would bring. And so we don't have to go to every end to try to extend life when we're actively dying. On the other hand, we may never intentionally cause death. That's where we've crossed the line. And so it's important when you get into these sort of end-of-life decisions and what are sometimes called advanced directives, living wills. There are all kind of different names that people throw around that mean different things. Good to have some knowledge about that sort of thing because, you know, they're big questions. And as Jessica says, you can perhaps spare your family at least some of the burden of tough decisions, though maybe not completely. Best have someone who is going to be a surrogate for you in those decision-making processes. But what prayers would you find particularly comforting? As I said, I posted a link on the show's Facebook page from the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, Prayers for Death and Dying. And they have some prayers with the dying if you happen to find yourself with a loved one, including some very short texts, Romans 8:35, what will separate us from the love of Christ, a beautiful passage. Romans 14:8, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Psalm 25:1, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Psalm 23:4, it's not just for funerals. Can actually be prayed in situations like these. Though I should walk in the valley of the shadow of death, no evil would I fear, for you are with me. I love that. I'm always reminded in Psalm 23, which begins, of course, with the familiar words, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. I love the King James Version, right? And I always take note of that pronoun shift, because the psalm begins by talking about God in the third person. That says, you know, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He guideth me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. But the deeper you get into the psalm, when you get to that statement about walking through the valley of the shadow of death, the pronoun shifts and it becomes second person for, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. There's a deepening intimacy while one is in the shadow of death. And there is a closeness, I think, we pray that at our deathbed we may experience a conformity to Christ in his own death. Then there are prayers for of commendation on here, prayers for the dead immediately after death as we entrust them and pray for the eternal rest in their soul. So, boy, it's a great resource to have handy. Might be worth printing out and having in a safe place. So check it out. Anyway, let's look back in history a little bit on this day. What are some things throughout the ages that have happened on July 20th? Just got a couple things worth mentioning. Today, the birthday of Alexander the Great, who was born in 356 BC, died at the age of 33, like another great one, someone whose greatness lasted far longer than Alexander's military conquests. In 1801, a very important day, Elisha Brown Jr. pressed a 1,235-pound cheese ball at his farm. It's a good thing they didn't have indoor plumbing back then, I guess. But anyway, Clark Griswold should have been around to see that. On this day in 1881, Sioux Indian chief Sitting Bull surrendered to U.S. federal troops. In 1890, I'm glad I don't live in Maine for this reason, though I like to visit, snow and hail in Maine on this day. Leo XIII died on this day, the great pope who was, pope for, I think, close to 30 years, very prolific. Died in 1903 on this day, well into his 90s. And happy birthday to Natalie Wood, who would be, 78 if she were still alive. Died, of course, in her early 40s, drowned. But the big thing on this day, 1969, the moon landing. Or could we say the Stanley Kubrick faked moon landing? I'm not saying I've got proof, you know. That's kind of... Isn't that the way people are with these conspiracy theories? I mean, I'm not saying, I'm just saying. No, come on. On this day, 1969, of course, the moon landing, for sure. Though I did see Capricorn 1 in that movie, will always make me think. Anyway, 573-4 bread 4. Back to this whole Lou Holtz thing and saying, you know, at this, in my view, shameful comments at the Republican National Coalition for Life on Tuesday at the Republican National Convention. Speaking about immigrants, I don't want to celebrate your holidays. I sure as hell don't want to cheer for your soccer team. Kind of keeping in the theme that has seemed to dominate at least some parts of the Republican National Convention that I've seen, that, you know, if we want to make America safe again, we want to make America work again, the problem is these brown people. Problem's these brown people. You know, let's get these immigrants out of here. Let's get these Muslims out of here. There seems to be a very thinly veiled scapegoating, in my opinion, that is very problematic and troublesome to be. As I said, this is somebody, speaking to you as somebody who's voted Republican in every presidential election since 1984, but will not be doing so this year, will not be voting for either major party candidate. And I'm very disappointed in Lou Holtz as a Catholic who should know better, who knows that Catholicism is not an American religion and we celebrate holidays that extend well beyond our national borders. My good friend Mark Berger said it much better than I could on his blog, Meister Blogger. And I'll post a link to this on the show's Facebook page, too. He said that what Holtz said troubled him. I don't want to celebrate your holidays. Mark, who's a Catholic, said, I used to drive to South Bend with my uncle. Uncle Frank was a Catholic priest and he'd been a Notre Dame season ticket holder since the days when season tickets were easy to come by. We cheered Holtz's teams there together. He said, I saw Holtz speak at a Catholic men's conference once. He spoke of faith and family and responsibility. It was compelling. It was also all apparently garbage. I don't want to celebrate your holidays. Of course, as Mark points out, we celebrate foreign holidays all the time, of course. Again, more than a little ironically, the Irish-themed St. Patrick's Day holiday, their Cinco de Mayo, a more or less Mexican holiday that gives us real Americans an excuse to drink margaritas and hammer down chips and salsa. There are others, different ethnic variations on the Christmas season, and so forth. He talks about how this Christmas something unusual happened. He said, our neighbors brought us a Christmas gift. That part wasn't strange. Thousands of neighbors give thousands of neighbors Christmas presents across the country every year. His neighbors, though, are Muslims. The mother of the family next door rang our doorbell. The smile on her face was enormous. She and her youngest son handed us a wrapped box that turned out to be cookies. She smiled. Her son smiled. I smiled, he said, until I closed the door, and then I cried. That simple box of cookies, one of the most perfect Christmas gifts my family had ever received. I don't want to celebrate their holidays, right? So then he talks about how when Ramadan began this year, he kept track for the first time in his life. And when Ramadan ended, he reciprocated the favor, brought them a gift for Eid, the end of Ramadan, the breaking of the fast. He brought them a present. Come on, folks. Mercy. We'll be back with a new hour. This is the Mike Allen Show.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.